are conceivable for all the jivas, sarvabhutana. Antar bahir avasthitam, although you exist, antar inside them and outside them, everything outside is you only, and you are inside everybody also, still people can't perceive you. So, Brahmaji says in his prayers, in the 10th canto, that, my dear Lord, I am like your child, you are like my mother. So when Yashoda Mai opened the mouth of Krishna to see whether he has eaten dirt or not, she could see the entire universe within Krishna's abdomen, Krishna's belly, right? So all the universes are within Krishna's body, right? Krishna's belly. Now, Brahmaji, who is within one of the universes, he is also in Krishna's belly only. That means someone who holds another person within one's own abdomen is called mother. Thus, Krishna is the mother. Krishna is the Supreme Father. Krishna is mother also. Right? So, if the baby within the womb of a mother kicks the mother from within, will the mother take offense? No. Similarly, Brahmaji, who is within one of the universes, he was staying in within the belly of Krishna. He did some mistake. So, Krishna, you should not take my offense. You should not take it as an offense. Like that, Brahmaji prays. And how does he offer this prayer? By standing in front of Krishna. By standing in front of Krishna, Brahmaji says, I am within your womb. You should forgive me. Like that. So, antar bahir avasthitam. So, Brahmaji is within the womb of Krishna and Krishna is outside Brahma also. Right? So like that, Krishna is all pervading. Brahmano hi pratishtaham, and there is another verse, 9th canto, 4th chapter. 9th chapter, 4th verse. Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? He is... Okay. The theme there is, he is all pervading. So Krishna is existing everywhere. And mayatatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Avyakta murtina mayatatam idam sarvam. So he is everywhere, but avyakta. He is not easily visible. Same thing she is also saying. Alakshyam sarva bhutanam antar bahiravastitam. And inside everybody he is standing like a paramatma. Right? So although Krishna is everywhere, to access him, one needs to have devotion. So a pure devotee, he can see Krishna everywhere, within every nook and corner of this universe. That is the vision of a pure devotee. That's what is mentioned in the Chitushloki of Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 9th chapter. So the 3rd verse is about Prayojana, to be able to see Krishna everywhere. So Krishna, devotee sees Krishna outside, everywhere, and Krishna, devotee sees Krishna within his heart also. Pravishtah karnarandhrena svanam bhavasaroruham dhunoti shamalam krishna sarilasya yathasarat. So devotee, by sincerely dedicating himself to the process of hearing, he invites Krishna into his heart through his ear holes. Pravishtah karnarandhrena, Krishna enters into the ear holes of a sincere hearer of Bhagavatam, svanam bhavasaroruham, and he sits in the lotus emotions of the devotees. Right. The heart is a place where emotions stay. So the emotions are also considered like lotus. Bhava saroruham. In that lotus of devotees, heartfelt emotions, Lord sits there. So that is Bhagavan. So devotee can see Krishna within. Devotees can see Krishna without, everywhere. But in general, people cannot see Krishna. Alakshyam sarva bhutanam antar bahiravasthitam. Although Krishna is everywhere, Krishna is within also, non-devotees cannot see him. So that is the whole import of this verse. So here Prabhupada writes in the purport. She is an enlightened lady. Right? She is could not commit mistake by offering obeisances to nephew. So there are so many living entities. Purusha, the word Purusha is used to indicate everybody. A conditioned soul in general. But nobody is Adi Purusha. Nobody is the original Purusha. In fact, everybody is Prakriti only. Right? So nobody, Krishna is the only Purusha. He is not only Adi Purusha, he is the only Purusha also. He is not original Purusha, he is the only Purusha also. Scriptures address the conditioned souls as Purusha because of their Purusha mentality. They are not Purusha. They are not men. They are Prakriti only. They are Jivas. So they are not enjoyers. They are not proprietors. They are not, independent lords. But they think that they are the enjoyers, they are the proprietors, they are the controllers, they are the independent lords. Because of this mentality of being a Purusha, they are addressed as Purusha by the scripture sometimes. But otherwise, they are Prakriti only. Right? So, there is Krishna is the only Purusha. Although all living entities are also transcendental, they are neither original nor infallible. Like that. The living entities are apt to fall down under the clutches of material nature. But the Lord is never like that. So, when the living entity falls down from his position of being a servant to an artificial position of being the master, he may be addressed as Purusha in a sarcastic way. When conditioned soul is addressed as Purusha by the scripture, it is a gali, it is not glorification. Right? Oh, this fellow is artificially thinking himself as Purusha. That's not a right address. It is right address in the sense that scriptures are acknowledging the soul's conditioned mentality, but it is not the original tattva. And ultimately, the soul is neither male nor female. Everybody has this male ego, whether they are in female bodies or male bodies or eunuch bodies or animal bodies or bird bodies, they have this male ego, Purusha Ahankara. That's why they are addressed as Purusha by the scriptures. But apart from that Ahankara, they are not actually controllers. So the living entities are apt to fall down under the clutches of material nature. Nityo Nityanam Chetana Chetananam. Then again he is addressed as Ishvara or controller. The living entities or the demigods like Chandra, Surya are also to some extent Ishvara. But none of them is the supreme Ishvara or the ultimate controller. He is Parameshvara. So here, the Lord is so to speak a puzzle to a common man, Prabhupada says. All pervasive are localized. Both Antar Bahir Avasthitam. He is Antar Avasthitam. Existing inside, that is super soul. Outside also he is existing as an all-pervading Brahman also. But he reserves the right of not being exposed to persons who are not surrendered souls. Now if he is there inside also, he is there outside also, why he is alakshyam? Kunti Maharani is saying you are alakshyam, you are invisible. So Krishna made question, you are describing me as someone who stays within and without. If I am there everywhere, why can't people see me? Why are you describing me as alakshyam? Then Kunti Maharani says in the next verse, Maya Javanika Channam Ajnadhokshajam Avyayam Nalakshyase Moodha Drusha Nato Natyadharo Yatha Maya Javanika Channam Ajnadhokshajam Avyayam Nalakshyase Moodha Drusha Nato Natyadharo Yatha Maya Javanika Channam. So Achannam, Lord is covered by what? Javanika, a curtain. What is that curtain? Maya. So Lord is covered by a curtain of illusory energy. That's why people are unable to see him, although he is right in front of everybody. He is Antar Bahir Avasthitam. So Shishupal was unable to recognize Krishna's glories because he was covered. Duryodhan was unable to recognize Krishna's glories, although he was right in front. So Krishna enters the assembly of Kurus. So Dhritarashtra was not unable to see him. But Duryodhan had eyes, he was seeing him. Vidura was seeing him. Bhishma was seeing him. And so many other Dushyasan, Shakuni, Karna and so many other fellows are seeing him. But everybody is not having the same understanding or realization of Krishna, although they are seeing Krishna. So Darshan does not give revelation. Darshan can potentially give a revelation, but just having darshan is not sufficient. Right? One should have a disposition to assimilate that darshan and to convert into realization. Right? So just being able to see Krishna is not sufficient. One should have that disposition within to take advantage of that vision. Right? Vision is effective when there is a proper understanding. So Maya Javanika Channam. You are covered by the curtain of Maya. That's why you are invisible. Adhokshaja. Adhokshaja means he is beyond the adho akshaja. Akshaja means knowledge or understanding that is born out of one's own eyes or perception. It could be sense perception. So adhokshaja, Lord is beyond sense perception, right? Beyond the range of any material conception, right? And avyayam, he is unaffected. He is unseen. The other day he was explaining, right? What is this avyayam? Na lakshyase moodhadrushaha. Na lakshyase. Again she is saying. Earlier she said alakshyam. Now she is repeating the same word. Na lakshyase. Lakshya means to be able to see. Alakshyam means you can't see him. Invisible. Na lakshya, alakshya, both are same. So na lakshyase moodhadrushaha. Because people are having imperfect vision. Moodhadrushaha. Drishya means to be able to see something. Vision, observation. Moodha drishya means a foolish people, a foolish person also will observe, but he can't get a realization. But an intelligent people, intelligent person can get realization. Right? Moodha drishya, nato natya dharoyata. Just like on the stage, Kuchipudi, Kathak, Kathakali, Bharatanatyam, there are different classical ways of dancing. Right? They show so many hand gestures and then expressions on the face and then eyebrow expressions. So there are different ways in which artists present themselves with various bodily poses. So someone who does not have understanding of that cannot appreciate. Right? A Bharatanatyam dancer, he or she will just do like this. A person who has understanding will understand that she is indicating Vishnu. Right? So there is Vishnu pose. Go to so many South Indian temples, Vishnu is like this, right? And then she will put like this, it's a chakra pose, it's a sankha pose. So like that there are different ways in which they express. Somebody who is just trained in only pop music and then dancing like this, so he cannot figure out what he is doing, right? There are so many ragas, people cannot figure out. Do tal, teen tal, kya, to fark nahi padta hai. So, na lakshyase moodhadrushaha nato natyadharo yatha. Just like an artist, when he is well dressed. Now, we have dramas sometimes, spontaneous dramas. On festivals after Guru Puja, suddenly somebody will get excited and then on a spontaneous basis, they will do some drama. So, there are no costumes there, right? So, people will laugh, especially when there is gadbid. When they do, they speak something little off, then people will laugh. That is one entertainment, many times. But sometimes devotees also make planned dramas, right? So now there is proper attire, proper makeup, they wear proper dresses relevant for the character and the pastime that they are enacting, right? So then, when an artist is well dressed and posing the ecstatic emotions, the exact emotions of the character whom he is depicting, then the observer will not see the person there, will see the character only. He will just get absorbed in that character. Is it not? Then he will not be able to recognize who is playing this role. Right? So, the role, the character that he is representing will become more prominent than the person who is actually acting like that. Right? He's an expert actor. So proper ambience is created. So Krishna is also like that. He is supreme personality of Godhead, but he comes into this material world and he acts like son of a mother, a nephew of an auntie, right? Or brother, or father, or son. So like that he plays various roles. Because he plays those roles so expertly, people cannot understand that he is God. Getting right? The drama is like that only. When someone is playing the role so wonderfully and people who are around him are also very absorbed in identifying him in that role, right? and the ambience is properly created and the audience are totally absorbed in seeing that, then sometimes you see in the movies, people in the audience, they start crying also. It's only screen, movie, because they are so absorbed in that, they just cry. So Krishna is the supreme actor, right? So when he plays any role, he just gets so absorbed in that role, and he is playing the role of Lord Ramachandra as an obedient son of his father, so people just cry, my God, Ramachandra did like this, right? So his godhood is covered by his human activities, right? But devotees are never bewildered. Devotees always recognize his godhood, except those who are in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a different plane only. They never acknowledge Krishna is God. They always think that he is my son only, right? That is out of prema. But generally devotees who are especially in the reverential mode, they understand Krishna's godhood. So nato natya dharo yatha. So Prabhupada writes, quotes this verse, avajananti mam modha manushim tanumashrita param bhavam jananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. So asuras cannot recognize, ordinary people cannot recognize. So he performs many wonderful activities which are humanly impossible. What did we learn in the first chapter? Kritavan kila karmani saha ramena keshava atimatyani bhagavan gudha kapata manushaha. Same thing is mentioned by Kunti here. So when we are reading now, we should always try to recollect verses that we have already studied, which are very much relevant in this connection. Right? In the previous verse also we have seen Ishwaram, Prakriti Param, Alaksham, Sarvabhutanam. So, Namaste Purusham Adyam. What verse we were remembering from Bhagavad Gita? Aham Adirhi Devana Maharshinam Tu Sarvashaha. So here also one verse is there. Prabhupada is writing like this. The asuras cannot recognize the Lord's authority. That is avajananti mam mudha, simple. Then he performs many wonderful activities which are humanly impossible. That is kritavan kila karmani saha ramena keshava. So like that, Prabhupada's purports are repetition of many direct statements of Bhagavatam and other scriptures only. Many times. So we shall find in the 10th canto, he kills Putana and other people. He does so many superhuman activities. He has shown marvelous capacities as a hero, as a householder, as a teacher and as a renouncer. So Vyasa, Deva, Asita, Narada, Madhva, Shankara, Ramanuja, Mahaprabhu, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvatagur, like that there are so many authorities. And Krishna himself has declared in many places of authentic Vedic literatures. So yet people cannot understand. Although Krishna's godhood is described so wonderfully by so many exalted people, so many scriptures, and Krishna himself declares, it is difficult for people to recognize his godhood and worship. People still are bewildered. Krishna is God or Ganesh is God? Shiva is God. So like that, it's a popular thing. Hindus mean they don't have one God. They have hundreds of gods. Right? So they don't have one worshipable object. And even Hindus themselves are bewildered because they don't have proper Shastric understanding of the gradation amongst these gods. One is Supreme Godhead and other people are reporting to this person. They are all demigods. There is Godhead. So that gradation amongst the different managers of this cosmic administrative system is not known to Hindus in general. Quote unquote Hindus. You think, I don't know. They told me, we have so many gods, we don't have one god. They also get bewildered when someone comes and challenges. That's how things are functioning. That is why we need to study the Shastra. Right? In the 10th canto, monsoon in Vrindavan, today it rained, right? Today is more or less the beginning of monsoon only. We didn't have so much rain like this. This year, a couple of times it happened, but so monsoon in Vrindavan, there is a beautiful analogy. During the monsoon, so much grasses grow and all the pathways are covered. Do you recognize? Now there is an access road. If the road is really small, the pathway is very small, and on either side of the pathway lot of grasses grow and they cover the pathway only. So especially in monsoon it happens. So you cannot walk on that path because so many grasses are covered. What you need to do to walk on that path, you have to remove the grasses. Now if you walk in that path, there is a risk. Behind those grasses there could be scorpions, there could be snakes, is it not? So it's not safe. So you need to make, you need to wear that big boots, right? Similarly, if you don't study scriptures, the understanding, the philosophical understanding becomes inaccessible. If you regularly walk on a path, grasses will not grow there. But if you avoid walking on that path, grasses grow and cover that path. Is it not? In monsoon, people don't walk on that pathway so much. So, all the grasses cover that path and the path, it's not used only. It's inaccessible, right? Similarly, if you don't study the scriptures properly and if you don't transmit the understanding given by the scriptures to the next generation, then the path is covered. The path is basically understanding Krishna, right? The path is basically path back to Godhead, right? An understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, an understanding of the Bhakti Yoga, Sambandha Abhudeya Prayojana. When that is not regularly studied, that understanding is covered. And especially when there is a generation of people, if they don't study properly, then what can they give to the next generation? That's why a follower of a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya should take it as a responsibility to study, understand the scriptures, scriptural conclusions and transmit it to the next generation. Otherwise, the next generation will only get confusion. They'll, even if the next generation is inspired to study the Shastra, because there is no proper precedence, the previous generation has studied, not studied nicely, then what will happen? They fear to enter that. Now, people are not walking on that path, so many grasses grew. Then if someone wants to walk on that path also, he becomes fearful of scorpions, of snakes, right? In the monsoon path. So similarly, the next generation should not become fearful. Array, it's so vast, my God, how will I understand this? Like that. One is to transmit that understanding. So, here so many, Prabhupada is writing that so many acharyas have explained this. So whenever that explanations of the acharyas is covered by the grasses of the wrong commentaries of non-devotees, then what will happen? People will get bewildered. Then Krishna has to descend and re-establish dharma. You must have read in the first canto, first chapter commentaries. Krishna Chaitanya Thakur writes there. So just like Krishna descends whenever there is a decline in religion. Dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever there is a decline in religion, Krishna will descend in some avatar and re-establish dharma. In Kali Yuga, Krishna descended as Srimad Bhagavatam and re-established the dharma, parodharma. Savaikumsam parodharma yato bhaktir bhakshade. So in that sense, Krishna, Bhagavatam is considered granthavatar of Krishna. Right, to re-establish the dharma, to revive the process of bhakti yoga. Same thing Kunti also says in the 35th verse. We'll come to that. So, such persons could not recognize Krishna even when he was present before them. Another difficulty is that those who depend more on their imperfect senses cannot realize him as the Supreme Lord. Such persons are like the modern scientist. They want to know everything by their experimental knowledge, but it is not possible to know the Supreme Person by imperfect experimental knowledge. So Queen Kunti accepts this deficiency of the conditioned soul. For less intelligent persons, bowing down before the authority of the Lord as generally done in temples, mosques or churches is as beneficial as it is for advanced devotees to meditate on him by active service. For a new person, it could be just taking darshan of the Lord and offering him obeisances. For an experienced and a seasoned person, it could be rendering so many services and taking responsibilities to run certain services of the Lord, temple. So both are nice. Now, in the 20th verse, Krishna will question Mother Kunti. You are saying, I am covered by the curtain of Maya. You can see me, you can praise me. Right? And you are also saying that Agna Adhokshadam Avyayam. Agna means a ignorant person. For Agna, Krishna is Adhokshaja. Right? Krishna remains inaccessible for a person who is very ignorant. Now Krishna is asking, why are you calling yourself Agna? Ignorant. Then she says, Tatha paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pashyemahi striyah. Tatha paramahamsanam. So who can understand the Lord? So paramahamsas, great transcendental devotees, muninam, great philosophers, amalatmanam, who are spotless in their character, right? So bhakti yoga vidhanartham means Krishna descends to propagate bhakti, right? Krishna is the object of bhakti. Krishna several times descends to propagate bhakti, basically to cut the weeds or the long grasses that grew around the path of bhakti yoga. He clears that path. Monsoon. After monsoon, you have to go and then cut all these extra grasses so that the pathways are clear. That's what Krishna does. So, you descend to propagate bhakti. Amongst whom? Paramahamsas, munis, great philosophers, amalatmanam, liberated sages. So, how can a woman know you perfectly? Katham pashyema hi striyaha. Stri means a woman. So here we need to understand that Kunti Maharani, out of her great humility, is identifying herself as a woman. Right? But such great devotees are actually beyond bodily conception. The nature of great souls is to identify some shortcoming in them, right, and become humble. Nature of a proud person is to identify some little good in them and then magnify it. Like he kind of boasts and advertises himself. So actually to identify oneself as a male or a female or belonging to some dynasty or Indian, American, so these are all external, bodily conception, right? As per Tattva, she is a wonderful, pure devotee. But she is identifying herself as a stri. How can simple ladies understand you? She says like that. So this kind of identification should not be seen as bodily conception. This should be seen as humility. Right? Now, once one woman asked Prabhupada, are women less intelligent? And Prabhupada said, if you think you are a woman, you are less intelligent. Right? So whether one is less intelligent or more intelligent or intelligent depends on how much that person is identifying himself with the temporary material body. If a man identifies himself with his body, he is also less intelligent. If a woman identifies herself with her body, then material body, then she is less intelligent. Like that. So if a woman is not identifying herself with her material body, she is identifying herself as a servant of Krishna, then she is not less intelligent. Right? So we need to understand that intelligence or ignorance, that depends on one's realization, one's own. Yeah, Prabhupada writes that in one purport. Correct. Sometimes that is also seen. So, basically, if you remember, the other day we were hearing that in Hari Bhakti Vilas, the statement is mentioned that Stri Shudra Dvijabandhunam, that is mainly indicating the Avaishnavas. Those who are not devotees should be seen in this light. But this is not very much applicable to devotees. So the Stri Shudra Dvijabandhu, this kind of categorization, and then, oh, these people are little less intelligent, like that. That is mainly for the non-devotees. ಆರ್ ಸೇಮ್ ನ ದ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಶುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರಿಮಿನೇಟೆಡ್ ಬೇಸ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟರ್ನಲ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರೇಷನ್ಸ್. ಆಲ್ದೋ ವಿ ನೀಡ್ ಟು ಎಕ್ನಾಲೆಜ್ ದಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಮೇಂಟೈನ್. ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ರೈಟ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಟೈಗರ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪಾರ್ಸಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ದಟ್ ಡಸ್ಂಟ್ ಮೀನ್ ಯು ಗೋ ಅಂಡ್ ಎಂಬ್ರೇಸ್ ಎ ಟೈಗರ್, ದಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಯುವರ್ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಎಂಬ್ರೇಸ್. That's what I'm saying, we should not sentimentally and artificially make the society classless. We should have the higher understanding of Vaishnavism, but we should also, men and women should not be mixed with. Oh, both are equal, no? Artificial equality should not be brought in. Women should sit separately and men should sit separately. That has to be acknowledged. So because when the soul is within one body, that comes along with the psychophysical nature, right? That has to be acknowledged. At the same time, considering the highest understanding of the identity of a soul, so we should not unnecessarily, perpetually see a soul in that conditioned state, right? Potentially everybody is a pure devotee. So that has to be seen. So now, taking advantage of the shortcomings and then looking down upon some people and then suppressing them and ridiculing them, disrespecting them, that is not proper. That is aparaj. So that kind of mentality is discouraging. Further, we need to take the shelter of this kind of statements. We need to access this kind of statements. So overall, a balance should be there. That makes sense, Prabhu? Now, 20th verse. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science. This is what she says now. So how can women understand you? You come to propagate devotional service amongst great exalted peoples like Paramahamsas, Munis and Amalatmanas. So even great philosophical speculators cannot have access to the region of the Lord. Now in this case, Kunti Maharani is there. So she is explaining, she is describing Krishna's glories in such a wonderful way. So her prayers are an object of meditation for so many people, so many generations to come. Her deep understanding of the process of Bhakti Yoga is also very much seen here in her prayers. So how can one call it a simple event? We are trying to study her prayers, right? So technically we need to understand that less intelligence does not apply to someone who is in certain body. It's about his mentality, his or her mentality. So that in that way we should respect. At the same time we should also acknowledge their presence in that body also. Yeah, out of her humility she is saying. It is simplicity is definitely very much needed and favorable to access the process of devotional service. That simplicity is very much appreciated, as Prabhupada also says. The simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showy, insincere religious fervor. Right? Yeah, that's it. When that is being appreciated, the quality of simplicity is being glorified, right? So what exactly is your question? Now, we can't make a black and white statement that only men can perform devotional service well, women cannot. Only women can perform devotional service, they have simplicity, men cannot. It ultimately, I just clarified it, it ultimately depends on the disposition of the devotee. So, there is one statement in Prabhupada's book, NOI, preface. The advancement of a practitioner depends on his attitude. Whether it is a woman or a man, so a person's attitude is more important. So Some men are also simple. And not every woman is simple. Getting right? So these are some thoughts. So even the great philosophical speculators cannot have access to the region of the Lord. He is knowable only by those who have His mercy. Right? Name viduhu suraganaha prabhavam na maharshayaha. Name viduhu means they cannot understand me. Who can understand? Yes, bro, who can understand? First end of third chapter. Rasika bhuvibhavaka is correct. Yeah, and? Nirmatsara, wonderful. That is specifically mentioned in the case of Bhagavatam. And what else? Saveda dhatum padavim parasya duranta viryasya rathangapane yo amayaya santataya anuvrutya. If one is favorably rendering devotional service, if one is constantly rendering devotional service, if one is rendering devotional service without any reservations, then he can understand. So he is knowable only by His mercy. So such people are more qualified people to access that mercy. Women in general are unable to speculate like philosophers. But they are blessed by the Lord because they believe at once in the superiority and almightiness of the Lord. And thus they offer obeisances without reservation. So here Prabhupada made this point clear. So he knows the sincerity of purpose. Sincerity of purpose. For this reason only women generally assemble in great number in any sort of religious function. Generally. In general it's like that. Okay. That doesn't mean every philosopher is Mayavadi. That doesn't mean every woman is pure devotee. Getting right? So this is general observation we can make. So we can't expect any black and white statements. Right. Here the quality of simplicity, the quality of sincerity is glorified. If that sincerity and simplicity is there in a man also, he is a wonderful devotee. It's there in the woman also, he is a wonderful devotee. She is a wonderful devotee. Like that. That point we need to understand. In every country and in every sect of religion, it appears that women are more interested than men. Because of the simplicity. This simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective. Okay. So Prabhupada is highlighting the simplicity in general in women. Even in the first canto 10th chapter also it comes. Anyonyam asit sanjalpa uttama shloka. Anyonyam asit sanjalpa uttama shloka chetasam. Kauravendra purastrinam sarvasruti manoharam. When Krishna was leaving Hastinapur, all the ladies of Hastinapur, they gathered together and they started glorifying Krishna. So, sarva shruti manoharam, all these talks of all these simple ladies, they were more attractive than the shrutis, more attractive than the scriptural statements, because their discussions are filled with love for Krishna. Like that. Even in Vrindavan also there is a description of how gopis love Krishna, gopis love for Krishna is on a much higher level compared to Gopa's love. Even amongst Vatsalya or Madhurya Sakya also. Right. So that way women are, you are saying something? That's one reason. Every man is not a woman in the previous life who is attached to man body. Every woman is not a man, was not a man in his previous life who was attached to a woman body. That's like one of the reasons. That's not the typical system of the evolution of bodies. Right? That could be one of the reasons. Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
ದೇವಕೀನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ನೌ ಇನ್ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ತ್ರೀ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಕುಂತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಣಿ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಹೌ ಟು ನೋ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ನೋಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ನೌ ಶೀ ಈಸ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ರೆಸಿಪ್ರೋಕೇಶನ್, ಅಬೌಟ್ ಹರ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಫಾರ್ಚುನ್ ಟು ರಿಸೀವ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ರೆಸಿಪ್ರೋಕೇಶನ್. ಶಿ ಬಿಗಿನ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ರಿಲೇಷನ್ಶಿಪ್ ವಿತ್ ವಸುದೇವ, ದೇವಕಿ, ನಂದ, ಎಕ್ಸೆಟ್ರಾ. ಸೊ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓ ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಯು ಆರ್ ವಾಸುದೇವ, ಸನ್ ಆಫ್ ವಸುದೇವ. ಸೊ ಬೈ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ ವಾಸುದೇವ, ಶೀ ಹೈಲೈಟೆಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ರಿಲೇಷನ್ಶಿಪ್ ವಿತ್ ವಸುದೇವ ಫಾದರ್. ದೇವಕೀನಂದನಾಯ ಚ, ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ದಿ ಸನ್ ಆಫ್ ಮದರ್ ದೇವಕಿ, ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಪ್ಲೆಜರ್ ಟು ಮದರ್ ದೇವಕಿ. ದೆನ್ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ, ದೆನ್ ಶೀ ಹೈಲೈಟೆಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ರಿಲೇಷನ್ಶಿಪ್ ವಿತ್ ನಂದ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್, ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ. ದೆನ್ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ, ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ದಿ ಗಿವರ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ಲೆಜರ್ ಟು ಕೌಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್. ನಮೋ ನಮಃ, ಐ ಆಫರ್ ಮೈ ಒಬೀಸೆನ್ಸಸ್. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಯಶೋದಮಯಿ ಹೈಲೈಟೆಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ರಿಲೇಷನ್ಶಿಪ್ ವಿತ್ ತ್ರೀ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ಎಸ್ಪೆಷಲಿ ಇನ್ ವಾತ್ಸಲ್ಯ ರಸ. ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಇನ್ಕ್ಲೂಡ್ ಕೌಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಗೋವಿಂದ, ಬಟ್ ಜನರಲಿ ಆನ್ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಬಾಡೀಸ್. ಸೊ ದೇವಕಿ, ವಸುದೇವ್ ಅಂಡ್ ನಂದ, ಶಿ ಡಿ ನಾಟ್ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ ಯಶೋದ, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಯಶೋದಾಸ್ ವಾತ್ಸಲ್ಯ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಹೈಲಿ ಎಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಷನಲ್. ಶಿ ಈಸ್ ಸುಪೀರಿಯರ್ ಟು ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. ಸೊ ಕುಂತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಣಿ ಹೈಲೈಟ್ಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ರಿಲೇಷನ್ ವಿತ್ ಯಶೋದ ಇನ್ ಎ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ವರ್ಸ್. ಒನ್ ಫುಲ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಕ್ಲೂಸಿವ್ಲಿ ಡೆಡಿಕೇಟೆಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಟ್. ಸೊ ಹಿಯರ್ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ ಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಶಿ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ಡ್ ಆಲ್ ತ್ರೀ ವಾತ್ಸಲ್ಯ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ಬಟ್ ಒನ್ ಬಿಗ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಡೆಡಿಕೇಟೆಡ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಫಾರ್ ಯಶೋದ. ದಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಕಮ್ ಲೇಟರ್. ಸೊ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ ಆಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಆಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹಿ ಈಸ್ ಮೋರ್ ಆಕ್ಸೆಸಿಬಲ್, ಮೋರ್ ಅಪ್ರೋಚಬಲ್, ಮೋರ್ ಮರ್ಸಿಫುಲ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ಇನ್ ಅದರ್ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ರಾಮ್. ಸೊ ರಾಮ್ ಈಸ್ ದೇರ್, ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಅ ಕಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ಹಿ ಬಿಕೇಮ್, ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಅ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಸನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸಮ್ ಮರ್ಯಾದ, ಹಿ ಈಸ್ ಮರ್ಯಾದ ಪುರುಷೋತ್ತಮ್, ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸಮ್ ಡೆಮಿನಾರ್, ರೈಟ್? ಹಿ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಸೋ ಅಕಾಮಿಡೇಟಿವ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಡಜನ್ ಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಟು ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ರೂಲ್ಸ್. ಓಕೆ ಫೈನ್, ಐ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಫರ್ಗಿವ್ ಹಿಮ್. ರಾಮ್, ನೋ ನೋ, ರೂಲ್ ಇಸ್ ರೂಲ್, ರೈಟ್? ಹಿ ಅಪ್ಹೋಲ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಧರ್ಮ. ಸೊ ಹಿಯರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚಕ್ರವರ್ತಿ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಸೇಸ್, ನಂದ ಅಂಡ್ ಯಶೋದ ಆರ್ ಮೋರ್ ಫಾರ್ಚುನೇಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದೇ ಕುಡ್ ರಿಲೀಸ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ಹುಡ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ವ್ರಜಭೂಮಿ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ಯಶೋದ ಅಂಡ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ದೇವಕಿ ಅಂಡ್ ವಸುದೇವ. ದೇವಕಿ ಅಂಡ್ ವಸುದೇವ್ ಆರ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಪೇರೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಬಟ್ ದೇ ಕುಡ್ ನೆವರ್ ವಿಟ್ನೆಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ಹುಡ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಡಿಕೇಡ್, ಮೋರ್ ದೆನ್ ಅ ಡಿಕೇಡ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಗೋವಿಂದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಸ್ಪೆಷಲಿ ಇಂಡಿಕೇಟ್ಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಕೈಶೋರ ಏಜ್. ಸೊ ಕೈಶೋರ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸ್ವೀಟರ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ದ ಅದರ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಅಮಾಂಗ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಅವತಾರಸ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಬೆಸ್ಟ್ ದ ಎಂಜಾಯರ್ಸ್. ನೌ ಅವತಾರಸ್, ವೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್? ಭಕ್ತಿಯೋಗ ವಿಧಾನಾರ್ಥಂ, ಸೊ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಡಿಸೆಂಡ್ಸ್ ಟು ಪ್ರಾಪಗೇಟ್ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಇನ್ ವೇರಿಯಸ್ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ಸ್, ಬಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಪೆಷಲಿ ಸ್ವೀಟ್. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೇಡೇಷನ್. ನೌ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್, ನಂದ, ದೇವಕಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಸುದೇವ್. ವಸುದೇವ್ ಇಸ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನಂದ ಇಸ್ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್. ಸೊ ನಂದ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ವಾತ್ಸಲ್ಯ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಈಸ್ ಮಚ್ ಸುಪೀರಿಯರ್ ಟು ದೇವಕಿಸ್ ವಾತ್ಸಲ್ಯ ಪ್ರೇಮ, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೇವಕಿಸ್ ವಾತ್ಸಲ್ಯ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಇಸ್ ಸುಪೀರಿಯರ್ ಟು ವಸುದೇವ್ಸ್ ವಾತ್ಸಲ್ಯ ಪ್ರೇಮ. ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೇಡೇಷನ್ ಅಮಾಂಗ್ಸ್ ದೀಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸುಪೀರಿಯರ್ ಟು ನಂದ ಇಸ್ ಯಶೋದ. ದಟ್ ಶಿ ವಿಲ್ ಕಮ್ ಲೇಟರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲೇಟರ್ 31st ವರ್ಸ್. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಜಗೋದಿ ಠಾಕೂರ್. Why she is not talking about gopis? How long is this going? from there on. You can close the windows, glass windows you can close. That will filter the...
The gradation of rasa, he talked about only three. He didn't talk that he was also Mata Rasa, Yashoda. He didn't talk about the Gopi Rasa. Because he is not accessible for that rasa, or he, that's why he just took in three form, three gradation.
See, unless a Tikakar gives exact commentary, why she is not speaking about gopis? Yeah, we can have 100 questions like that. Why she is not speaking about Vraja Gopis? Why she is not speaking about Subal? Why she is not speaking about Brahmaji? All that. Whatever she spoke, let's try to go in that flow and understand. And if some Acharya gives another insight, oh, she is not speaking in this context because... It's not okay. Like that. What is your question? Love of Nanda is? So Krishna became the son of other Gopas also during Brahma Vimohan Leela for 1 year. Right? So Nanda Gopa, you can put Gopa to Nanda also. Nanda Gopa, he is a Gopa, right? Kumara, he is son of Nanda Maharaj. That way also. And what mean? So he is the boy of Nanda and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan. So in Brahma Vimohan Leela it happened. He became the... But Nanda Maharaj, Vatsalya is superior to other Gopas. Other Gopas also had Vatsalya for Krishna. And other Gopis also had Vatsalya Prema towards Krishna. And Yashodama is, Vatsalya Prema is much superior to other Gopis. So the gradation comes like Yashoda first, Rohini second, then Nanda Maharaj third, then there are other Gopis of Vrindavan, they also come. And other cows of Vrindavan. So first Vrindavan, may all this list is completed, then it comes to Devaki and Vasudeva. Vrindavan, whoever had Vatsalya Prema, all of their Vatsalya Prema is superior to Vasudeva and Devaki. Okay. So it comes in one commentary. Okay, next. In the purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord being thus unapproachable by any material assets, out of unbounded and causeless mercy descends on the earth as he is, in order to show his special mercy upon unalloyed devotees and to diminish the upsurges of demoniac persons. Prabhupada is basically writing, yada yada paritranaya sadhunam blandiru paritranaya sadhunam vinayashaya cha dushtutam. That's what he says here. So he is most approachable as Krishna than Ram. So Krishna is more merciful than Ram. And often it is described that Krishna engaged, Ram engaged monkeys in seva and Krishna distributed butter to monkeys. Nanda and Yashoda are more fortunate because they could relish Krishna's childhood pastimes. So no one is as fortunate as the residents of Vrajabhumi, and specifically the cowherd girls, and dedicated their everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. So one beautiful verse comes in the context of gopis. Gopyah tapah kimacharan yadamushya rupam lavanya saramasamur bhamananya siddham. So we can discuss more of it in the 10th canto. But what kind of austerities gopis have done? They are constantly seeing the essence of all loveliness, that is Krishna. Asamortham, unparalleled form of Krishna. Ananya Siddham. Krishna's beauty and his opulence are innate in him. It is not borrowed from someone else. Like that. Gopis were constantly witnessing that form. And Prabhupada also says, Govinda, now this Prabhu, Vakreshwar Prabhu was saying, why gopis are not highlighted? Some hint is given. Only Govinda is mentioned there. I think Vishnu Chakur Thakur says, the enjoyers of this gopi govinda form are specifically Vrindavan Vasis, gopis. So their name is not directly mentioned because of their extraordinary love, and it is very esoteric, right? So I think it's slightly mentioned there. Yeah, probably that is another reason. She is also the same age group. Same generation. Namah Pankajanabhayam. Namah Pankajamaline. Namah Pankajanetraya. Namaste Pankajangharaye. So, she here, in the previous verse, Kunti Maharani glorified the fortune of other devotees. Now she is saying, I am also fortunate. Why I am fortunate? Because I am able to see your form, which is very beautiful. I had the vision of lotuses. Namah Pankaja Nabhaya. You are a lotus naval lord. Namah Pankaja Malini. You wear a lotus garland. You see the beautiful painting of Kunti Maharani's prayers. So Krishna wears a garland of lotuses. Namaha Pankaja Malini. Namaha Pankaja Netraya. You have lotus eyes. Namaste Pankaja Angharaye. You have lotus feet. When Kunti Maharani is starting this prayer from the navel and not from his feet, because Kunti Maharani did not want to embarrass Krishna by starting glorification with his feet, because she is elder. Krishna might feel a little embarrassed. The Lord may appear as one of us, but He is always distinct by His specific bodily features. So Kunti Maharani is highlighting that. So she claims to be unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. This is claimed because women, Sudras and Dvijabandhus are wretched descendants of higher three castes and unfit by intelligence to understand transcendental subject matter concerning the spiritual name, form, attributes, etc. So, in general, they don't have the capacity. So, to bestow mercy upon those people who are not very intelligent also, Krishna presents himself as deity form. They love the deities more. Yeah. And again, whoever is loving the deities more, you should not stamp them as Sri, Sudra, Vijayabandhu, less intelligent people. That way he is sticking to the deity. He is a Kanishta. Yeah. So, Kanishta may love deities more than devotees. That doesn't mean everyone who loves deities are Kanishtas. Right? So these are all black and white understanding. Right? People want to have things black and white. They can't accommodate grey areas. Most of it is like that. If they have proper balance, either this or that, tell me. Who is correct? Prevarat is correct or Kumaras are correct? People ask this kind of questions. What did Kumaras do? They denied Brahmaji's order. Brahmaji, Prevarata, Brahmaji told Prevarata to enter household life. Brahmaji told Kumaras also to enter household. Right? Kumaras rejected, Prevarata accepted. Who is correct, who is wrong? Case seems to be black and white. But both are correct. If you see Acharya's commentaries, Kumaras, both Vishnu Chakravartakar and Prabhupada, they write in favor of Kumaras, what the decision they have taken. You need to actually see the context there. So two opposite actions then in a similar context can be perfectly correct. If this is correct, that cannot be correct. If that is correct, this cannot be correct. You can't say like that. Both can be correct. It's subjective. So, because such fallen souls cannot see anything beyond matter, the Lord condenses to enter into each and every one of the innumerable universes as Garbhodak Sai Vishnu. So, Prabhupada writes, all the great acharyas established such temples of worship in all places just to favor the less intelligent. And one should not pose himself as transcending the stage of temple worship while one is actually in the category of Sudras and women or less. And sometimes one may artificially think that, hey, deity worship is meant for less intelligent people. I should not be worshipping deities. That would be something else. So, let me do preaching only. Deity worship my, like that. One should begin to see the form of the Lord from lotus feet gradually rising. But we understand why Kunti Maharani prayed like that. Okay, 23rd verse. It is said that lotus is the most beautiful object that we can appreciate. So it's not Lord's lotus, Lord's limbs are not exactly like lotus. Lotus is the most beautiful object that we can relate with. And we don't have better comparisons than lotus, moon, Krishna, Krishna, Aravinda, Aravinda Lochana, so Krishna, Aravinda, Aravinda. Probably. They are all recipe ways of relishing things. Okay. Next, 23. Yatha Hrishikesha Khalena Devaki Kamsena Radha Tichiram Sucharpita Vimochitaham Chasaha Sahatmaja Vibho Tvayaiva Nathena Muhur Vipad Gunat. So Yatha Hrishikena, you can read the translation.
O Hrishikesha, Master of the Senses and the Lord of Lords, you have released your mother Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the venomous King Kamsa, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers.
Yatha Hrishikesha Khalena Devaki. So now Kunti is saying that you saved Devaki from the imprisonment of Kamsa. Khalena. Khal means villain. Envious villain. Who is the villain here? Kamsa. So Yatha Hrishikesha, O Lord Master of Senses, Khalena Devaki Kamsena Ruddhachitam Sucharpita. Sucharpita means she is very much distressed. She was so suffering because of Kamsa's Kamsa's atrocities. But Kunti Maharani suffered more than Devaki, because Kunti Maharani was widowed at a very early age when small children were around her, and Pandu Maharaj died, and she was in a place where the people around her are constantly trying to attack the Pandavas and try to kill them, and she was a widowed lady. Although Devaki also suffered a lot because of Kamsa, she always had a shelter, her husband, Vasudeva. Vasudeva was constantly with Devaki. As long as the husband is there to protect the wife, the presence of husband is a great solace for a woman. Right? But Kunti Maharani was undergoing a lot of suffering. Even although she was not in prison, she was in palace, it was as good as prison. At the same time, she did not have a husband also. So her suffering is more intense than Devaki's suffering. So vimochitaham cha sahatmaja vibho. So you saved me and my children from a series of constant dangers. So your mercy towards me is more than your mercy towards Devaki also. Right? Because Devaki's children were not protected. They were slaughtered by Kamsa. But Kunti's children were protected by Krishna. Right? Because Krishna also sees, although Devaki's children, Kamsa is killing, she had a hope of getting more children. And who can be a better child than Krishna? She was about to get Krishna as her child. Right? So, but Kunti Maharani's children were protected by Krishna especially because she had no hope of getting more children. Right? So, this was done because Devaki's husband Vasudeva was living, whereas Kunti was a widow. So Devaki had the possibility of getting more children. The conclusion is that Krishna endows more favor to a devotee who is in greater dangers. Sometimes he puts his pure devotees in such dangers because in that condition of helplessness, the devotee becomes more attached to the Lord. In the condition of helplessness, devotee becomes more attached to the Lord. So this artho jignasu artharthi jnani cha bharatarshabha. There are four types of devotees who approach the Lord. So artha is one. In a generic way also people may remember the Lord when there is some calamity. But in the case of pure devotees like Kunti, they even invite calamities so that their remembrance of the Lord can be intensified. That will come a little later. In the 25th verse it comes. So, saying that you read it somewhere and you are sharing that. Yeah, got the point. Okay, you are sharing, it's written somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. So Krishna is the relisher of love of his devotees. So, he does the needful to experience that love. In the case of distress, Krishna is, devotees love Krishna more. So, Krishna wanted to taste that love. For example, in Kaliya episode, Krishna was being coiled by Kaliya's coils. Then all the Vrajavasis on the bank of Yamuna, they were feeling so anxious for the protection of Krishna, and Krishna was actually relishing that. So he allowed himself to be bound up by Kaliya's coils for long time, right? Just to experience the intense prema of all the Vrajavasis. So the more the attachment is there for the Lord, the more success is there for the devotee. Okay. Now, Kunti Maharani, so far she said that you did not protect Devaki's sons, so I am very fortunate to receive your protection. You protected my sons so many times. So what all, she gives so many examples when Krishna protected. So that is the next verse. Vishan Mahagne Purushad Darshanad Asat Sabhaya Vanavasa Kritshrata मृधे मृधे नेक महारथास्त्रतो द्रौण्यस्त्रतश्च हरे अभिरक्षिताः. विषान, विषा इज पॉइजन. सो भीमा वाज गिवन पॉइजन एंड ही वाज थ्रोन इनटू वाटर. कृष्ण प्रोटेक्टेड. महाग्नेः, all these Pandavas along with Kunti were kept in the lac house made of lac, and then it was set into fire. Krishna protected them. Purushada Darshanat. Purushada means Purushada, someone who eats human beings, right? So like Hidimba Asur, there are so many such asuras, who cannibals, who attacked when Pandavas were in the forest. So Krishna protected in that situation also. Asat Sabhaya. There is a Sabha, assembly of Kurus, that is filled with so many villains, right? Asat, Dhritarashtra, Duryodhan, Dushyasan, Karana, Shakuni, all those people. She protected. So Draupadi was about to be disrobed in that assembly, Asat Sabha, and she was crying profusely. Tears were falling and then wiping her entire body. Tears were making her body wet. But Dhritarashtra's mind was not at all shaken by it. No compassion on a woman. So Dhritarashtra's sons only were disrobing in front of Dhritarashtra, in front of so many such great people. But his heart did not move. He allowed it to happen. That is the greatest, incompetency of a king. When a king is allowing some nonsensical activity happen right in front of him only, what kind of king he is? Even Virata, who is considered a very poor, weak king, like when this, who is that? Draupadi was playing the role of Sairandhri. She was like a dasi in Virata's kingdom. And Kichaka was behind her. So Kichaka once, he went behind Draupadi and then she went directly into the assembly. Right? So Kichaka was running behind Draupadi. Then even Virata also said, hey, what's happened? Although he couldn't protest, but still he was consoling and he was thinking in favor of Draupadi. Right? So later, of course, Bhima killed Kichaka, that happened. But a man should protect, a king should protect women. Right? And here one woman is crying and 100 men are torturing her, and this king is stupid. He was just sitting there and then watching the show, unable to watch also. Right? That is the greatest offense. And of course, the entire episode is there to show that there will be situations in life where no one can protect you. No power in the entire planet can protect you. Even such accomplished people like Pandavas, they had to keep quiet. They cannot protect, they cannot come forward to protect you. Bhishma cannot protect you. Drona cannot protect you. Only Krishna can come and protect you. So that is the greatest Vaishnava understanding of that whole episode. Asat Sabhaya. Vanavasa Krichrataha. Vanavasa means in Vanavas, when they were in the forest, so many such things happened. Sufferings in exile. So Krishna protected. Mridhe, mridhe, aneka maharathastaro. In the battle of Kurukshetra, so many maharathis were showering their arrows on Arjuna. Arjuna was protected from all those arrows. Right? So Arjuna, there is one beautiful verse that comes in the first canto, 15th chapter. Krishna was remembering, Arjuna was remembering all the favors that Krishna had done to him. Saindhava, Shalya, Bahilika, Drona, Bhishma, Guru is Drona. Guru, Bhishma, Karana. So like that, there is one beautiful verse that comes. So there are so many great generals who were pointing arrows at Arjuna were counted, were enumerated. So Krishna protected from all of them. Then Draunyastraha, Drauni, the son of Drona, Ashwatthama. So he had sent Brahmastra to kill Parikshit, last person. So Krishna protected in that context also. So like that, we have protected us from a series of dangers. So those things were recollected by Kunti Maharani very fondly. Next, 25th verse. Let all those calamities come. Vipadashantuta shasvat tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yasyat apunar bhava darshanam. He says, Vipadaha santutaha shashvat. Let all those calamities come. Shashvat means perpetually. Again and again. You were saying something? Yes. Nimbasura. Means? So there were some cannibals. Hidimbasura is a man, a rakshasa, who can eat human beings alive. And Hidimbi is his sister. Right? So Hidimbasura was attacking, five people suddenly entered my arena. I have my fist ready. He was thinking like that. But somehow there was a fight between Hirimbasura and Bhima, and Bhima killed Hirimbasura, and he married the sister, Hilimbi. What happened? This happened when after that Lakshagraha incident. Yeah, sometimes in Mahagne also, Krishna may not be directly present there. Vishan, Krishna may not be directly present on the scene, but it's all protection of Krishna. Whatever happens in Krishna's devotee's life, whatever protection he receives, he understands, the devotee understands that it is protection by Krishna only. Apparently some other agent will come and protect. Definitely he acknowledges that other instrument, but ultimately it is Krishna's protection. No one can deny it. That way she is saying. Anyone read Mahabharata? So the principle there is, even such an exalted personality like Yudhishthir also has done gambling, so one should stay away from that. Right? And Krishna protects. Although so many forces in this entire creation will fail, ultimately Krishna's protection is that he can come and protect. That is Asat Sabha whole scene. So these are the main principles. So what exactly happening, the details between the steps, between throwing every dice, is he consulting someone, is he not using his intelligence, why am I losing and rest? I don't know. You need to exactly read Mahabharata for a specific question. You need to understand the principle, right? Right? It's like, you should not gamble. Gambling is so intoxicating that even if you are losing, you feel like continuing the match. There is always a hope. Now I lost. Next time I will win. With that hope, they will continue. It is hope against hope. So, eleventh canto Vidura Samvad is there. Uddhogit is there. What relevance? Anyone understood the question? You need to give a purport to your question.
You can put some math under this so that you don't make so much sound later.
Not now, after break. So, Vipada Santuta Shashwat, Tatra Tatra Jagadguru. I think we can open questions after sections. Looks like we are getting into a very discussion mode and not everybody is interested in this question, right? That makes sense? 21 to 25. After 25, we'll have questions. Okay. After completing one section, we'll go. Okay. So, Vipadaha Shantutaha Shashva Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Bhavato Darshanam Yatsyat Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Let all those calamities come again and again. Vipadaha Shantutaha Shashva. So, let us be burnt alive in a lakh house again. Right? Let our daughter-in-law be disrobed again. Right? And what else? Let cannibals attack us again. May my son be poisoned again. That's what she is meaning. That's what she is saying indirectly. Right? Vipadaha santuta shashvat. Even to conceive of it, just for argument's sake, when I just enumerated what has happened in the previous verse only, again, just by adding the word again, it's so surprising for all of us. How can she say like that? Vipadaha santutaha shasva tatra tatra jagat guru. You can see her inclination to surrender to Krishna is so strong. So she is evaluating. I underwent so much calamity, but what did that calamity give me? A sense of surrender to Krishna, dependence on Krishna. As long as I get that impetus to, I get that uddipan to surrender to Krishna, to depend on Krishna, that calamity is welcome. Let it come again, no problem. Because it's giving me a kick. Right? So an intoxicant is there. For example, somebody is smoking cigarette or just drinking wine, etc. He knows it is not good for health. He knows it's very painful. And after that, I have to go to a doctor, I have to spend so much money, this and that. He knows everything. It may lead to cancer also, all that he knows. But he is looking forward for that little kick that it gives, that intoxicating effect for whatever few minutes or few hours or whatever. He wants that. He wants to stay high. He wants to go high. But Kunti Maharani wants to stay high forever. Right? Let the calamities come again and again. So when the calamity comes, the intensity of dependence on Krishna is more. The intensity of remembrance of Krishna is more. Right? So that intensity she wants. I always wanted that intensity. I want to stay high forever. For me to stay high forever in my mood of dependence to Krishna, I need calamities forever. Let more and more calamities come. It could be of this flavor only, it could be some other flavor, whatever. She enumerated calamities and she says all those calamities should come again and again. So that bhavato darshanam yasyad, we get your darshan. We will be able to remember you, we will be able to see you. And if we remember you, apunar bhava darshanam, we will not be undergoing this perpetual transmigration cycle of going from one body to another body, one planet to another planet in this material life. So generally, the distressed, the needy, the intelligent and the inquisitive who have performed some pious activities, sukritina, worship or begin to worship the Lord. Therefore, for a pious person, if there is some calamity, there is no other alternative than to take shelter of the Lord. Okay? For a pious person. Now, even though there is so-called calamities, they are welcome because they give us an opportunity to remember the Lord, which means liberation. Bhavato darshanam yasyat apunar bhava darshanam. So, remembering the Supreme Lord means getting out of this material world. And if a calamity is giving me impetus to remember the Supreme Lord, it's welcome. So that I can completely be out of this calamity business. I can be out of this material world only, which is a pool of calamities. So one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nescience, can achieve liberation as easily as one leaps over the holes made of hoofs. Prabhupada is basically quoting Samashritaye Padapallava Plavam Mahatpadam Punde Eshomurare Bhavambudhir Vatsa Padam Param Padam 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 Yad Vipadam Natesha. So Bhava Ambudhi, the ocean of material existence, becomes like Vatsa Padam. Right? In a Vatsa Pada, even a glass of water also is more, it will overflow. So, newborn calf. So this material world is sanctified by the Lord as Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, place of calamities. Right? It's like a salt mine. In the 7th canto, 6th canto, there is a comparison that comes. Material world is like a salt mine. You enter a salt mine, wherever you scratch, you will get salt only. You will not get sugar, you will not get rasmalai. If I scratch here, some sandesh will fall down. If I scratch there, some rasmalai will just pop up. It's not like that. Wherever you scratch, only salt is there. So to search for sugar in a salt mine is foolishness. Similarly, to search for happiness in the material world is also foolishness. Like that. There is enough happiness in this material world to make us attached to the sufferings of the material world. To continue our sufferings in the material world. Only that much is there. The happiness here is an impetus for the conditioned soul to continue in this material world which is full of sufferings. That's, to that extent there is happiness. So less intelligent persons prepare plans to adjust to those calamities without knowing that the nature of the place itself is full of calamities. It's a beautiful purport. The duty of a sane person therefore is to be undisturbed by worldly calamities which are sure to happen in all circumstances. Sufferings suffering all sorts of unavoidable misfortunes, one should make progress in spiritual realization, because that is the mission of human life. The spirit soul is transcendental to all material calamities, therefore the so-called calamities are all false. So when someone is experiencing some calamities, he may be devastated, thinking that I think this calamity will stay forever, right? But just like material world is temporary, the calamities in the material world are also temporary. So a devotee, intelligent devotee, is constantly seeking an opportunity to convert every situation into an opportunity of depending on Krishna. That's what Kunti Maharani is teaching us. All calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it's all gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the 9 devotional services is always a forward step on the path back to God. Okay. So in undergoes lot of difficulties. Right. One needs to
sometimes happens that sadhu sometimes by humanity also continually play this life of human prayers and suddenly Lord gives I told them suddenly got frustrated within the not practicing the service and he was so it happens in sadhu's case. How to practically maturely he will take that lesson to the prayer with Kutiman.
So as far as sadhaka is concerned, one way is we may not pray for calamities. One needs to actually understand one's own situation or realization or capacity in devotional service. One needs to honestly evaluate oneself, and one may not pray for calamities, but whatever calamities are coming on their own accord, let us try to see them as sources of opportunities to depend on Krishna. Tatenu kampam samikshamanam bhunjana eva atmakritam vipakam. Whatever calamity is coming in my life, it is the result of my own deeds, my own activities. Right? What am I supposed to do in that context? Hridva gopurbhir vidadhan namaste. I should be able to offer obeisances to the Lord with my mind, activities and words. I should just offer obeisances to the Lord and thank Him. Thank you, my Lord, for minimizing the intensity of this calamity, although I deserve more because of my past misdeeds. Devotee always thinks that I deserve more mistreatment, but Krishna out of His causeless mercy is giving me a token calamity only. So that much you can see. Right? And you want more calamities? Yeah, you can pray. Personal prayer. You can't impose on others. You can't impose this mood on others. Right? It's up to you. Be humble enough to take shelter of the association of devotees. When there is confusion, when there is bewilderment, when you are unable to handle or understand or reconcile a situation in your life, go to some senior devotee, express your heart, and ask him for some guidance. He will give some guidance. Depend on your peers, your own friends, your co-practitioners. Ask some suggestion. Right? We need to take shelter of the association. It's not that we are alone. We are not practicing devotional service alone. That makes sense? I think we should take a break. 11:05. 11:15 we'll meet. 26th verse. Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribhir Yedhamana Madah Puman Naivarhatya Bhidhatum Vai Svamakinchana Gocharam. In this verse, Kunti Maharani says, who can easily approach the Lord? Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri, Edhamana, Madah, Puman. So these four things, like Janma, high birth, Aishwarya, lot of wealth, opulence, then Shruta, good education, Shri is beauty. So these four things can induce lot of pride in materialistic people. So Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shribhir, Edhamana, Madah, Puman. Mada is intoxication. If one's intoxication because of these four items is increasing day by day, then he cannot. Naiva arhati, na eva arhati. He is not qualified to achieve your mercy. Abhidhatum. Abhidhatum, Prabhupada translates as addressing the Lord with feeling. This is specifically indicating with chanting. Now in the previous verse you can see the feeling of Kunti Maharani. Bhavato darshanam yasyad apunar bhava darshanam. Let all the calamities come, no problem. We are just looking forward for your darshan, right, your remembrance. No problem, we can tolerate any kind of calamities. So she says that. So that kind of feeling, that kind of dependence on the Lord, utter dependence on the Lord, cannot happen when someone is intoxicated with Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shribhir. Because they cannot get, they don't experience calamity. The intensity of calamities is not there when these things are there. Okay, I can solve my problems with my money. Right? So they may think like that. So Naivarhati abhudhatum vai. Vai means certainly they cannot take shelter of you. And who can take shelter of you? Tvam akinchana gocharam. Akinchana gocharam means one who is materially exhausted, materially impoverished. Only such people can actually take shelter of you. So akinchana actually refers to people who do not have any possessiveness, not possessions. There are many exalted devotees who have high birth, janma, aishwarya, great opulence, shruta, very learned, shri, beautiful. So all these great pure devotees, Parikshit Maharaj, Arjuna, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Ritu Maharaj, Prahalad, then who else? Dhruva. So they have all this. Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shribhir. So this verse should not be taken as a license to condemn people who are beautiful, who are learned, who are scholars, who are rich, etc. So this does not mean every rich person is a non-devotee, every poor person is a great devotee. You can't get a black and white understanding from this. Right? So it's all akinchana gocharam basically means one who is not attached to his material position and other things. He doesn't take prestige or pride. He is not intoxicated by this. Right? Yena madha, madha puman, madha. That madha will not come because of these four items in this person. So that kind of persons can actually address you with sincere feeling. So a materialistic person, mad after possessing all these material opulences, and this is known as the advancement of material civilization. But the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up, intoxicated by such temporary possessions. And he cannot utter with feeling. So it is said in Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. So it's not an exaggeration. Ajamil was delivered. So actually the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency. However, holy name is potent, but the person also should receive it in such a attitude. So, but there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. That's the whole point. If one is already comfortable, then a beggar on the street may beg for food with great desperation. Right? Sometimes we also go for madhukari during yatra. You know that somehow I'll get my meal. So my today's filling of my belly is not dependent on what he gives me. The menu, what he gives me, also the menu is not sufficient, menu is not proper, I have alternatives like that. So the dependence will not come. So Prabhupada is basically highlighting that feeling of dependence. So someone who is very rich also can depend on the mercy of the Lord. So one needs to cultivate that sincerity of purpose and a feeling of dependence on Krishna. That has to be the one-pointed focus for cultivation. Other things may be there or not there. Materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. Disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. All these four. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature as much as fever is an external feature of the unhealthy body. The general purpose is to decrease the degree of fever and not to aggravate it by materialism. By maltreatment. So His Holiness Narayana Swami Maharaj makes a statement. You can digest the food that you eat if you have hunger. Right? Similarly, you can chant the holy names in better quality if you are desperate. And if calamities are an impetus for us to chant with that feeling, sincere feeling, then devotees welcome that. That's the whole point. So to the extent one has the one has hunger, to that extent he can digest the food that he eats. He tells that in the context of studying Bhagavatam. To the extent we are eager to know about Krishna, to eager to hear about the glories of Krishna, to that extent we take the study of Bhagavatam sincerely. Okay, if one is already satiated, I already know so much, and then I already read it several times, and I already spoke it several times, what is the need of doing it again? So if that kind of, or I will hear this so that I can, Maharaj was saying that in one yatra, sometimes one may attend a class or study a book to get some points so that he can repeat and impress other people. So when this kind of prejudiced or motivated hearing or reading is there, then he cannot actually absorb the message. Right? To the extent one has sincere eagerness, sincere purpose and motivation in hearing and chanting and doing any other activities in devotional service, to that extent they take the person one step closer to Krishna. Right? Ultimately, every soul loves Krishna, but that love is covered by material contamination. One needs to remove these layers of material contamination and come one step closer to Krishna in all their endeavors in devotional service. To the extent one has all these external motivations, etc., to that extent he cannot, his activities cannot keep, make him go forward towards Krishna. Activity may be there. Chanting may happen, hearing may happen, deity worship may happen, speaking may happen, so many services may happen, but there is one, the sincerity of purpose, the quality of feeling, these are the words that Prabhupada uses, keywords, right? So those points we need to immediately catch and try to put it in application. Try our best to put in application. So Prabhupada says, empowerment, sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. This is no discouragement purposes. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign as much as the falling of temperature is a good sign. So Prabhupada is comparing increase of wealth and material attributes to increase of fever, material fever. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to be more and more illusioned about the aim of life. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. So a generally favorable and unfavorable circumstances for devotional service are described here. So Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shribi, potentially they can induce pride and intoxication in a person, so they are unfavorable in general. But not that every beautiful man, every wealthy man and every learned person is a non-devotee, and not that every poor person and every ignorant person very unpaid. That kind of people are not great devotees like that. We have an example in 10th canto. Shruta Deva Bahulashva. They were staying in Mithila, right? So Krishna went from Dwaraka to Mithila to meet these two great devotees, along with so many sages like Vyasadeva, Narada, Asita, Devala, Sukadeva, Parashuram. So many devotees, great devotees accompanied Krishna when he went to meet these two devotees, Shrutadeva and Bahulashva. And one of them was a poor Brahman. And another person is a king of that Mithila. Right? So whether one is a king with all this Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri, or one is a poor person without any such material attributes, still Lord is equally reciprocating with both of them. When Lord went to this Brahman's house, he does not have even sufficient mats to offer seats to all these people who came there. He had to borrow from someone else's thing. But he was very happy to receive all these deities, all these personalities, Krishna and other sages. He was taking out his cloth and then waving it, doing like this, out of his ecstasy and intoxication of seeing Krishna. He was very happy. So he went and deceived Krishna. He offered it. Krishna was equally pleased with him also. Where is the king and where is one poor Brahman in the kingdom? Shrutadeva and Bahulashva. But Krishna was happy with both of them. Next. 27th verse. Namo akinchana vittaya nivritta guna vrittaye atma ramaya shantaya kaivalyapataye namaha. Namo akinchana vittaya. He is the vitta. He is the property of whom? Akinchana. Of those who are materially poor. And as I said, the poorness is not that he doesn't have wealth. The poorness is indicating he does not have the possessiveness. Possessions are different from possessiveness. Prabhupada writes, you cannot call yourself as a renunciant just because you left your palace and went into the forest. Palace does not belong to you. Forest also does not belong to you. Just by changing your residence place from palace to forest, you cannot be calling yourself as a renunciant. Prabhupada writes like that in 3rd canto. But you can be a renounced person even while staying in the palace or forest if you don't identify yourself as the proprietor of these two places. Ye mera kutir hai. This is my cottage. This is my hermitage. This is my palace. That minus is there, right? As long as that minus is there, that possessiveness is there towards insignificant material objects or great material objects, he cannot be an object of Krishna's mercy. Naivarhati abhidatum vai tvam akinchana gocharam. Akinchana practically refers to one who does not have false proprietorship of anything material in this entire cosmic manifestation. He identifies everything as Krishna's property, and even if he holds all that property, he considers himself as a humble servant of Krishna, right? As a representative of Krishna. He doesn't have anything for himself. Right? That's the whole point. So, akinchana vittaya, property of materially poor. So, this is referring to unalloyed devotees who are the abodes of prema. They have the right vitta, Lord himself is the vitta. Akincha, vitta means wealth, money, right? So akinchana vitta, Lord is the wealth of akinchanas. So Lord is the wealth of those who does not have any material wealth, right? Who don't identify themselves as proprietors of material wealth. They may have material wealth, but they don't consider themselves as the possessors or proprietors of that material wealth. So Lord becomes their wealth. Akinchana vittaya. So this is referring to pure devotees. And nivritta gunavrittaye. So Lord, gunavritti is the functions of material modes. Okay. And as Prabhupada was speaking from Sridhar Swami's commentary, gunavritti is the vritti, which is dharma, artha, kama, moksha, that is a product of three gunas. Sattva, rajas, tama. And gunavritti can also mean the functioning. The vritti means occupation or function of what? Gunas, material modes. You can consider. Now, different acharyas' explanations may differ sometimes, but that has to be seen as variety, not contradiction. But how can this be the meaning? Again, we should not have a black and white understanding. This means this only. This cannot mean something else. Because the Sanskrit language can give multiple meanings. So the glory of all these acharyas, although they sometimes comment on the same verse in different ways, is that they are so eager to relish Krishna Katha. Every word of Bhagavatam they see as glorification of Krishna, and they relish it in different ways. Vishnu Chakurthi Thakur gives five explanations for one verse, the first verse of Bhagavatam. And even when a demon is blaspheming the Lord, Hiranyaksha blasphemes Varahadev, Vishnu Chakurthi Thakur gives a positive interpretation of all this. Right? So he gives a different interpretation. How is he changing? It's very clear that Hiranyaksha was not glorifying Varahadev. He was only blaspheming Varahadev. How can Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur interpret something else? How is it different from the misinterpretation given by other people? Right? So they can only see every syllable as glorification of Krishna. That is their intensity of Krishna consciousness. So we need to see that as a variety, not as a contradiction, although the explanations may a little differ. But all of them, all the explanations are a little different about these specific words, but all of them agree to this one point. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachi Dupasana Vrajavadhu Vargyanava Kalpika. So the five conclusive opinions that Lord Chaitanya has given: Krishna is our supreme worshipable deity, right? And Taddhama Vrindavanam, Vrindavan is the supreme abode, and the process in which gopis worshipped him is the highest form of worship, upasana. And Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Puran. And the goal of one's life is to develop love for Krishna. These are the five conclusive opinions that Lord Chaitanya has given. No acharya in the Sampradaya contradicts that. Although their explanations are slightly different in terms of some small technical details. Right? So, nothing to do with functions of material modes. That is nivritta gunavrittaye. So devotees do not have wealth arising from material modes, but they have the Lord who is devoid of material enjoyment as their property. Lord is their property. They may not have property in their name. But how much property you have? Kuch nahi. Just this one small land, it's an agriculture land. I just run the show here only to get my earning, livelihood. So that is nivritta gunavrittaye. Then Atma Ramaya. Lord is Atma Ram, means self-satisfied. So in the case of unalloyed devotees, Akinchana Bhaktas, Lord acts as Akinchana Vitta. Lord acts as their wealth. But in the case of non-devotees, Lord is Atma Ram. He is self-satisfied. I don't depend on your offerings. You anyways don't worship me. Relax. I'll also relax. So when he is dealing with non-devotees, Lord is Atmaram. Then Shantaya, he is peaceful. When is he peaceful? Even if devotees sometimes offend him also, Lord forgives them and he remains peaceful. Then that doesn't mean that devotee takes advantage of Lord's peace and merciful attitude and then commits more and more mistakes. That's not the point. But Lord has that tolerance. That's what is emphasized here. Kaivalya Pataye means Lord is the master of all these monists. The Lord helps the devotees who desire liberation. So these are some attributes of the Lord. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur highlights like this. The living being is finished as soon as there is nothing to possess. Okay. Therefore, a living being cannot be in the real sense a renouncer. He never renounces anything. A living being renounces something for gaining something else. He is giving up this means he is getting something else. That's how he is not a renouncer. A devotee renounces the material world not for nothing, but to get something tangible in spiritual value. But they left everything to gain something superior to what they have previously possessed. The devotees are generally without material prosperity, but they have a very secret treasure house in the lotus feet of the Lord. Okay. So, that satisfaction is what is the natural inclination of every living entity. They seek satisfaction. They seek happiness in what they do. So sometimes somebody may seek satisfaction in material possessions and someone else may seek satisfaction in giving up material possessions and taking up something spiritual. But ultimately everybody is looking for satisfaction. But a biased outlook is to think that, oh, this person is seeking satisfaction in a wrong way. That's what materialistic people do when they see spiritualists. Right? Now, Prabhupada writes one beautiful point somewhere. He says, people glorify learned scholars or scientists who do research in how to prolong their material life by inventing medicines and surgeries and this and that. So they glorify them. And we are trying to enter eternal life. Why we are being ridiculed? Right? If a person who is inventing medicines or other techniques to prolong material life even by one day or 2 days, if he deserves glorification, what to speak of people who are trying for eternal life, who are endeavoring for eternal life, how much glorification they deserve? So Prabhupada says these people are not, this comes in somewhere in the 11th canto. So the devotees are generally without material prosperity. Prabhupada quotes the story of Sanatana Goswami who had a touchstone. He can deliver the supreme asset, Narada. Narada means one who gives Narayana to others. So material hankerings and spiritual advancement go ill together. Unless one is able to see everything as spiritual in relation with the Supreme Lord, one must always distinguish between spirit and matter. So this is the point. Unless one is able to see everything as spiritual in relation to the Supreme Lord, one must always distinguish between spirit and matter. So one has to distinguish, one should not lose discrimination. Right? In his dealings in this material world. Material advancement is called anartha, or things not wanted. By diverting attention to so many unwanted things, human energy is spoiled without achievement of spiritual realization, which is prime necessity of human life. The material disease is due to hankering after and lording it over material nature. The hankering is due to an interaction of three modes, and neither the Lord nor the devotees have attachment for such false enjoyment. So the suffering is there in this material world only because of our hankering. And if we lose any material pleasure, one may lament for it. Right? Hankering and lamentation are the great attributes, right? Nature of a conditioned soul. Because the Lord is the property of devotees, the devotees are the property of the Lord reciprocally. Devotees are Bhagavat Pradhana. So Such analyzed devotees are distinct from the mixed devotees who approach the Lord for mitigation of miseries and poverty or because of inquisitiveness and speculation. So, there are different categories of devotees. Now you make rice, white rice, plain rice. You make some mixture of tamarind and haldi and groundnut, etc., etc. In that, it becomes pulihuara, right? Tamarind rice or whatever. You mix something else, it will become jeera rice. It will become ghee rice or pulao, biryani, masala rice. There are different mixtures that one can mix. Similarly, bhakti as a process is there, but depending on the disposition of the practitioner, bhakti takes different names. Right? There is bhakti performed in three modes. That is rajasika, tamasika and sattvika. So bhakti is never contaminated by modes. Bhakti is always beyond modes. But depending on the attitude of practitioner, bhakti appears in three modes. And also there is jnana mishra bhakti, karma mishra bhakti, yoga mishra bhakti. These are all mixtures. And when jnana is prominent than bhakti, it becomes bhakti mishra jnana. Bhakti becomes secondary element, jnana becomes primary element. If bhakti is primary element with jnana is secondary element, it becomes jnana mishra bhakti. So like that, yoga mishra bhakti, karma mishra bhakti, or bhakti mishra karma, bhakti mishra yoga. So like that, bhakti can appear in different mixtures depending on the attitude of the practitioner. If he is desiring for liberation, then it is motivated bhakti. If he is desiring some material enjoyment, it is also motivated bhakti. If he is desiring for some siddhis, expertise, right? I want to become expert in this field. That is also mixed bhakti. So unalloyed bhakti is performed. What is the test for, litmus test for unalloyed bhakti? Kapila Dev says, Anya Bhilashita Sunyam. He says, Mad guna sruti matrena mayi sarva guhashaye manogati ravichinna yatha gangambha somhuto. When a person is performing unalloyed bhakti, one's mind, as soon as he hears some qualities of Krishna, mind completely runs towards that discussion. Mind is completely attracted towards Krishna as soon as he hears one quality of Krishna. Mad guna sruti matrena, just by hearing about my quality, manogatir avichinna yatha gangamba sambhudo. His manogati, the course of his mind, takes him forcefully towards Krishna only. Just like Ganga travels to the ocean, in spite of so many obstacles. That is unalloyed. So, such unalloyed devotees are distinct from mixed devotees, who approach the Lord for mitigation of miseries and poverty. Someone wanted to ask something. Okay, 28 years. Manyetvam kalamishanam anadinidhanam vibhum samam jarantam sarvatra bhutanam yanmithah kalihi. So manyetvam kalamishanam. Kunti says, manye, I consider tvam, you, as kalam, as eternal time factor. O Isha, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are kala, you are eternal time. So then she further says, I consider your lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller, without beginning and without end. Anadi nidhanam. So adi is beginning, nidhanam is ending. So he has no ending or beginning. Vibhum, you are the supreme lord. Samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yanmitah kalihi. So although you are samam, equal to all, right, and you are an abode of conflicting qualities, right? So kalihi means your acts are very bewildering. Dissension, there is a dissension. So the dissension between the living entities are due to social intercourse. Prabhupada writes like that. So you are all pervasive vibhum, equal to all and an abode of conflicting qualities. That's what Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes in writes about Kalihi in his purport. So eternal time is the witness of all our actions, right? Good and bad, our actions could be good and bad, but time is witnessing that, and thus resultant reactions are destined by him. It is no use saying that we do not know why and for what we are suffering. So we need not say like that, I don't know why am I suffering. Yeah, you may have forgotten, but the reason is very clear. So a person suffers because of his own activities. That is simple. We may forget the misdeed for which we may suffer at the present moment, but we must remember that Paramatma is our constant companion, and therefore he knows everything, past, present and future. That's why one is one suffers. He communicates to the Lord of Death, Yamaraj. So this fellow has done these mistakes, so he should be given this punishment, this kind of treatment. He should be given this kind of destination. So in the 6th canto, 1st chapter, there was a discussion between Yamadutas and Vishnudutas. So Vishnudutas questioned Yamadutas, why are you taking this Ajamil to Yamalok? What mistake he has done? And he said, yeah, they say that he has done some things we have to take. Then they question, what is the process of your punishment? How do you punish people? And is everybody destined to receive punishment from you? So then they just give a big list of codes, protocols that they have, right? That's like Yamalok's manual, right? Function. How do they function? They have a manual, protocol system. So there they say that there are so many species in this planet. So out of them, only the human species are entitled for punishment, and other species, they just go by the regular course of transmigrating from one body to another body, but only human species. And even amongst human species also, those who commit mistakes, those who commit sinful activities under the influence of material modes, so those people are punishable, right? So like that. Without his sanction, not a blade of grass can mew. The living entities are given as much freedom as they deserve, and misuse of that freedom is the cause of suffering. So we often hear this example, that when a cow is tied to a tree with say 10 meters rope, the cow can do anything within the 10 meters radius, right? We form a circle with 10 meters radius, so that is its independence. And you tie another cow with 5 meters rope, right, and that cow can sit in that, within that only. Similarly, depending on one's own past activities, different living entities are given different magnitudes of independence, right? So somebody who is having this kind of karma, he will have only limited independence. For example, he wants to go to America. He cannot go out of his own small village also. That is his karma. Whole life will go like that. Or somebody may want to go to moon planet. But he has done some karma. He has to live in earthly planet only. How many machines he may invent, he cannot go to moon planet. Prabhupada simply says that you should have some pious credits to go to moon planet. Not machines, not airplanes. Simple. So because of one's own past activities, one's independence is restricted to certain amount that one cannot change. For example, the birds are given an independence to fly. If a dog wants to fly, it cannot fly because he has done some activities, and those activities suited this dog's body. When he enters dog's body, within that lifetime, he cannot fly. He has no wings, right? So like that, There are different restrictions imposed upon conditioned souls. They are not independent. The most independent people are those who are dependent on Krishna. So dependence on Krishna gives unlimited independence. So Yamaraj tells Yamadutas that just like the Lord is independent, Vishnu Dutas are also independent. They can travel anywhere. So Vishnu Dutas can come from Vishnu Loka, Vaikuntha, to earthly planet also. They can go to Brahma Loka also. They can go to other Vishnu Loka also. So like that they can go anywhere. Now, if you want to go to Vishnu Loka, can you go? No. If you want to go to Chaupati, can you go? Right? You may be able to go, but that also needs certain permissions and other things. Right? Vehicle should be available. It should not be rainy. So like that. So many conditions, so many restrictions. No one is therefore either an enemy or friend of the Lord. Samam charantam sarvatra. Everyone is suffering and enjoying the result of one's own destiny. The destiny is made by the living entities in course of social intercourse. Everyone here wants to lord it over the material nature, and thus everyone creates his own destiny under the superintendence of the Lord, supervision of the Lord. So these are the Lord's ways of dealing with people. 29th. Naveda kaschit bhagavan sikirshitam taveha manasya ranam vidambanam nayasya kaschit dayito astikarhichit dveshyasya yasmin vishamamatin ranam. Read the translation.
O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and so are misleading. We have no specific object of favor, nor do we have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial.
So, bhutanam yan mithah kalihi. So that point is there, right? People are bewildered by you. Kalihi, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, is he is an abode of conflicting qualities. That means he has some qualities that can potentially bewilder people in general. They get confused. Right? Is he God or not? Why is he doing like this? Like that, that kind of things may happen. So the dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. Because of that, there is some disagreements. So if there is disagreement, who will decide the truth about the Lord? Then Kunti Maharani, in the next three verses, she describes the mysterious nature of Lord's birth and activities. So Lord's activities are appearing to be human, and they are sometimes bewildering people also, vidambanam. So they are not understood by everybody. So you have no objects of favor or envy, yet people imagine that the Lord is partial. Na Veda kashchit Bhagavan chikirshitam. Oh Bhagavan, people, na Veda, people cannot understand your activities, right? Chikirshitam means past times. So who cannot understand? Iha manasya, worldly men. Taveha manasya ranam vidambanam. Instead of understanding, they get bewildered. Vidambanam means they get totally bewildered, astonished. So nayasya kashchit dayitosti karhichit dveshyasya yasmin vishamamatin ranam. Although you are equal to everybody, as I said in the previous verse, still people imagine you to be partial. They impose duality on you. They think that you are partial. Like that. So, now a beautiful note that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives. So you can see Bhagavad Subodhini also. The sun gives the same light to everybody, but he seems partial sometimes. Why? Because sometimes you see sunstone. So sun imparts his own qualities to the sunstone. Right? That's one thing. Second, sun generally gives us the ability to see objects in this world. The sun is not there, you can't see who is standing next to me, is this table, is this chair, whatever, we can see. But sun's appearance is not beneficial for the blind people. Blind people cannot see. Right? So sun is not revealing to the blind person. Sun is revealing to the poor people who are with eyes only. That means he is partial. And sun is imparting the qualities to a sunstone, not to everybody. And sun is giving joy to the Chakravaka birds. And sun is harmful to the owls and thieves. Right? So now there are different categories of people who become happy when sun rises, who become morose when sun rises, who take greatest benefit from sun, and who are completely tortured by sun. For example, monsoon is there. All the farmers will become happy if it rains nicely. But city people may get troubled. Aray, office jana is there, a lot of traffic jam, there is so much water flowing on the roads. They will feel bad. In the 10th canto of monsoon in Vrindavan episode, this kind of comparison comes. Monsoon gives happiness to farmers, monsoon gives unhappiness to city dwellers. Like that. So, now will you say that sun is partial? Can you impose the quality of partiality on the sun just because different people are affected by sun in different ways? Monsoon is partial. Actually, clouds are also created by the sun only. So the answer is, the cause of this difference is the qualities of the specific object that comes in contact with the sun. Similarly, Lord also is like that. Lord is not partial. Lord is reciprocal. So Lord may give liberation to some people, Lord may punish some people, Lord may do this, Lord may do that. But why Lord is dealing with different people in different ways? Just now, some verses back we have seen, Akinchana Vittaya, Atmaramaya, Shantaya, Nivritta Gunavrittaya, then Kaivalyapati. So towards non-devotees, Lord is Atmaram. Towards devotees, he is Akinchana Vitta and then he is peaceful. So what is this? Lord is acting in different ways with different people. No, Yesama Prapadyante is basically, Tams tathaiva bhajamyaham. So Yathamam Prapadyante is not contradicting Lord's description as Samam Charantam Sarvatra. He is Samam, that's why he is Yathamam Prapadyante. When you say equal, you are doing prasadam distribution. Now, we are doing prasadam distribution in an unbiased and with equanimity. When do you say like that? If you give whatever the devotees want, how much ever the devotees want. We are distributing chapatis. I am samam, I am equal to everyone. Char chapati kam. Char, char, char. Everybody four chapati. He says, I want only two. No, you have to eat four. No, I want to take rice. No, you have to eat four chapatis. I am samam. I am equal. I have equanimity. Right? Equanimity means whatever they want, whatever they need, that you give. Ethamam prapadyanti. So a good prasadam distributor is one who distributes according to what the devotee wants. Of course, not gulab jamun and other things. You have to give one only to everyone. Because some people want 10 gulab jamun, some people want 5. That's a different, that's an exception. Don't put it here. But in general, you are serving items that are unlimited, quote unquote unlimited. Then you should give whatever they want. Right? If a non-spicy aadmi baithe, you give him spicy sabji. Right? Sometimes our prasadam server says, out of love they kind of push. So these are some things. So Lord is also like that. So sun is not partial. Similarly, Lord is also not partial. So the Lord's mercy upon the fallen souls is equally distributed. He has no one as a specific object of hostility. The very conception of the personality of Godhead as a human being is misleading.